Education, Finance, and Policy Committee to order. Today is Tuesday, March 29th, it's about 10 after 1. We are waiting on our chief authors yet. I believe we have Senator Hoffman about to come online. If he does, we will start with Senate File 3972, whichever chief author gets here first, we'll do their bill first, so. Senator Hoffman, he's connecting right now. Senator Hoffman, I see you online. You are our first chief author to come on, so we will start with your bill. Senator Hoffman, are you able to hear us? I was just going to say, maybe we will. While Senator Hoffman is working to work out the bugs with his connection, why don't we move to Senator Kiffmeyer, being she got here, and then we can move on to another. So, members, we will start with Senate File 3846. We'll let Senator Kiffmeyer get situated. Ready, Senator Kiffmeyer?
I am ready, Senator.
All right.
Rarick, Mr. Chair, glad to be with you today.
Yeah, so I will move that Senate File 3846 is before us, and I don't believe you have any amendments, so to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have, I don't think I have a technical amendment on this bill, so I think I'm good to go as it is.
Right.
And so, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, this bill is the Legislative Coordinating Commission policy housekeeping bill, and this is the Legislative Coordinating Commission. It is a bicameral entity of equal members of the House and the Senate. So they made a recommendation to for this language, which is before you here today, started out in state gov as well. So in Article 1, it clarifies the ability. But you know what, Mr. Chair? I have the executive director here who can probably do a much better job of this, probably prepared some notes for me. But
sure.
I think Ms. Weber could do a good job of presenting.
Executive Director Weber, please identify yourself for the record and please explain the bill to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Michelle Weber. I'm the executive director of the Legislative Coordinating Commission. Article 1 of the bill has several housekeeping and policy provisions related to the Legislative Coordinating Commission. I believe the article that this committee is most interested in is Article 2, but I'm happy to speak to the entirety of the bill if you'd like.
Let's start with Section 2, and we'll kind of look at the rest and figure out if we have any questions on that. But if Speak to Section 2 for us, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Article 2 of the bill is proposing to repeal the Trustee Candidate Advisory Council. This is a 24-member legislative-appointed trust council that 12 of the members are appointed by the Speaker of the House, and 12 members are appointed by the Rules Committee, Subcommittee on Appointments within the Senate. This Candidate Advisory Council has not met or made recommendations since 2012, and currently all of the appointments to the council are vacant. All the positions are vacant. The council has made recommendations to the governor on appointments that he considers for the Minnesota State Colleges Board of Minnesota State Colleges and Universities Board of Trustees. And since this council has not met since 2012, the governor has employed their own recruitment and appointment process. All appointments to the council are still under the advice and approval of the Senate.
All right, thank you very much. Members, do we have any questions for either the testifier, Senator Kiffmeyer? Seeing none, Senator Kiffmeyer, you can have some closing comments, but I also want to ask, do you wish this to be voted back to your committee, or do you have it there and we can lay it over here so it's in both jurisdictions?
Mr. Chair, there are a couple things in this bill that if it gets sent back to state gov that are in the purview of state gov, we would include it there. But since it's been heard in your committee, and like this area that pertains really to higher ed, you can keep it here and put it in your bill, but I'd like it sent back to state gov, and then we'll take care of whatever's left.
Very good. We'll give you closing comments, and then we'll vote you back to state gov.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just appreciate your support.
All right. Thank you. And with that, members, I would move that Senate File 3846 be recommended to pass and referred to state government. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion passes. Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee.
Senator Hoffman, do we have you? All right, there you are.
Can you hear me, Mr. Chair? Can you hear me okay, Mr. Chair?
I can, yes.
Awesome, because you know I could enter the bat cave and fly over to Capitol if you want. I'm currently sitting in the HSR hearings right now, so I'm in the back room. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, why don't you, I'll move Senate File 3972 to be before the committee, and we'll let you begin explaining your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And in front of you also, Mr. Chair, is A1 amendment and an A2 amendment, and I can briefly describe those if you wanted to put those in front, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Senator Hoffman, do you,
thank you, so
do you
much.
Need one of those
thank
or do you
so
need
much.
Both of those?
My notes are that both should be ready, but we could start with A1 if you wanted, Mr. Chair.
Okay, why don't you explain to us the A1 amendment.
As Mr. Westrum said, we are asking...
Correct, thank you, Mr. Chair, and this is a first stop. So the A1 amendment is just, we receive technical assistance from the Office of Higher Education, and the changes are just technical changes that clarifies the advisory role of the Technical Assistance Center, and that's it, as well as the considerations for the competitive grant applications.
Without getting emotional, that's what I do. Basically, we changed
all those in favor say aye.
We were created in 1982,
that passes.
And we were a division from family members from the community.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And originally, we wanted to add the nonprofit private institutions in there in the House. Well, I shouldn't say that because, you know, the upper chamber, but the other body has got that language in there, Mr. Chair. And so we wanted to be consistent. And after discussing with Alter Kanick and the folks in the nonprofit higher ed institutions, we wanted to add that. Add that language in there. So no, and I take that back, Mr. Chair. The House does not have that language in there. We wanted to add it in ours.
Okay. Members, do we have any questions for Senator Hoffman on the $80?
So we are very below.
Right.
We're asking for this rate increase
I will
to put us on a level playing field, so that way when
statewide
increases happen.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. That is adopted. Senator Hoffman, do you have any more testimony or do you wish me to go to your testifiers?
Mr. Chair, real quick, I'll just say that this bill aims to address the major gap in higher education by expanding the post-secondary options for people with intellectual disabilities. I have a whole lengthy going, but go ahead and get our testifiers in there and I can wrap up with any closing comments. So, Mr. Chair, thank you for this up.
Very good. We will first go to Dr. Valentini. Please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Hello, I am Dr. Brian Valentini. I am assistant professor of special education at St. Cloud State University, and I want to thank you all today for having me here. I am here in support of Senate File 3972. For the past 4 years, we have been laying the foundation for a program at St. Cloud State University that would bring people with intellectual disability to campus, to our campus, to engage in academics, community experiences, campus living, and vocational development, with the end goal of improving post-school outcomes and employment, community engagement, and independent living. Today, we are closer than ever. In the past 9 months, we have partnered with 4 local school districts and 1 regional grocery corporation. With the proposed funding before you, we would be able to immediately implement our program plan year to collaborate with our partners on recruitment, application, and admissions. Together, we are ready to launch family information nights, campus visits, establishing transition plans with teachers and principals at local school districts. And we have identified over 200 jobs individuals of this program could secure. Additionally, with the proposed funding, we would hire 4 new teachers, 6 new graduate students, and establish a peer network system to support program participants in all areas of college life on campus. In the first 4 years of funding, we would be expected to address half of a waitlist that consists of over 100 families in central Minnesota alone. Within the first 10 years, we will aim for a 90% graduation rate of more than 200 individuals with intellectual disability. Further, the goal is not graduation alone. Our aim is to increase employment rates across Minnesota, independent living rates, and community engagement. Our collaboration with a retailer has identified more than 200 occupation program participants could secure. Together, the retailer and SCSU would identify paid internships individuals will participate in during the program. Then, as graduation nears, the retailer and SCSU will collaborate to place individuals in competitive and integrated employment, a priority for Minnesota. The program at SCSU will allow graduates to actively engage with their communities for a lifetime. So on behalf of the families, teachers, and individuals with intellectual disability, I want to thank you for investing back into Minnesota.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next up, we have Mary Hoff. Please identify yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair and members. My name is Mary Hoff, and I'm here to testify in favor of Senate File 3972. I'm a parent advocate and co-leader of the Minnesota Inclusive Higher Education Consortium. The consortium is a parent-led collaborative of key stakeholders committed to expanding post-secondary education opportunities for Minnesotans with intellectual disabilities. The gateway to college for people with intellectual disabilities opened in 2008 with the reauthorization of the Higher Education Opportunity Act. Since 2008, more than 300 colleges and universities across the United States have embraced inclusive higher education by including students with intellectual disabilities. Minnesota lags behind. With Senate File 3972, we have the opportunity to close this gap. Today, less than 3% of college-age Minnesotans with intellectual disabilities have access to college in Minnesota. Senate File 3972 takes direct aim at removing barriers to inclusive higher education by establishing a technical assistance center and providing competitive grant funding. Senate File 3972 is modeled after laws passed in Florida, Maryland, and Colorado. College is the pathway to more successful adult outcomes, irrespective of a person's disability. Students with intellectual disabilities, like any college student, experience personal growth and maturation. I'm a parent of 4 young adults who are all pursuing post-secondary education. My daughter Jean is a student with an intellectual disability who wanted to go to college and pursue a career in communications. She wants to make career choices for herself, like her siblings and peers. With no Minnesota 4-year college options, she made the difficult decision to attend college out of state. Although she is in her second year of college, it has not been easy. Her first choice was to stay in Minnesota. Many students with intellectual disabilities prefer to remain close to home and family while completing their post-secondary education, but Minnesota has limited choices. You can change that. I ask that you support Senate File 3972 so that Minnesotans with intellectual disabilities have access to inclusive higher education options across the state. Thank you, and I'd like now for the opportunity for Bryn Sexton to share her testimony over the Zoom.
Very good. Can we get the next testifier yet? Please identify yourself and begin your testimony.
I will be sharing a video right now. I can share my screen.
Yes.
Chair and committee members, my name is Bryn Sexton, and I am hearing. Thank you for the chance to give my story in support of Senate File 3972. What I want for my future is to become an American Sign Language interpreter by going to college after high school. I want an ASL certificate and to get a job and live with family or someone I know. I am searching for colleges near my home where I can earn an ASL certificate. I have 4 years of high school ASL classes. There are three Minneapolis colleges where I can continue studying ASL, and I have been on one tour. One school is very expensive, and the other two are community colleges. I would like to learn from a deaf teacher and meet some deaf friends. I plan to go to college, but because I have a disability, I worry about passing a test to get into college. This bill will open the doors for me to go to college and to reach my dreams. I ask that you support Senate File 3972. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Ms. Hoff?
No, we turn it back to you and Senator Hoffman.
All right, Senator Hoffman, have you got anything before we go to member questions?
No, Mr. Chair, I just want to say thank you, you know, to see Bryn and exactly what it gets to. It's a workforce development. Students with intellectual disabilities who attend post-secondary education are more than twice as likely to be employed and live in their homes of their own and buy less on government SSI and rehab. This strengthens the workforce. Absolutely, the key and core work you're talking about, Mr. Chair. And so with that, I thank you again. I have 3.5 sheets. I could go into more depth for 5 minutes if you really want to get, choose not to. And I just say thank you for supporting me and let's move on. So thanks, Mr. Chair.
Members, are there any questions for the testifiers or Senator Hoffman? Seeing none, thank you very much. Thank you to the testifiers. And Senate File 3972 will be laid over for possible inclusion. We're going to go to Senator Coleman next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Senator Coleman, you're up next with Senate File 4045.
Thank you. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yep, we have you. So
great.
Senator,
thank you,
Senator
Mr. Chair.
Coleman.
I apologize for being remote.
No problem, Senator Coleman. So I will move Senate File 4045 to be before the committee, and I believe you have an author's A1 amendment.
Let me see. I wasn't made aware of that, but
maybe I have the wrong bill. Sorry. I'm sorry. That's for the wrong bill. So I apologize. Please begin with your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I, like I said, I'm sorry I'm remote today. I am taking care of some sick kids who you may see, but definitely will hear at some point. Senate File 4045 addresses moving the Rare Disease Advisory Council. Many of you may remember that the Minnesota legislature established the Advisory Council on Rare Diseases in 2019, and Senator Miller was the chief author at the time. I was involved in this as well because I was with the Medical Alley Association at the time, and now I currently serve on the council representing the Senate Republican Caucus. This legislation moves the council from the U of M to the Minnesota Council on Disability to allow the council to actively work on public policy. This move aligns more with the intent of the stakeholders who worked with Senator Miller in advocating for the creation of the council, intending it to be a council that would advise the state and actively work on public policy to benefit the rare disease community. This move allows for the council to proactively meet the needs of the rare disease community. It aligns efforts with other organizations assisting the rare disease community and enhances the opportunity for the council to have a more statewide focus. This legislation is supported by council members. We did take a vote on this. It's supported by original stakeholders. It's supported by Minnesota's Rare Action Network, which has broad representation throughout Minnesota's rare disease community, and by the Minnesota Council on Disability. There is no known opposition, and I did hear from the University of Minnesota's government relations team today that they are not opposed to this move. And I do have a testifier, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Coleman. We'll go to Ms. Amy Gaviglio. Hopefully I'm close to that. Please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Excellent. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we have you.
Thank you, and you nailed the last name, so I appreciate that. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you today about Minnesota's Rare Disease Advisory Council. As was mentioned, my name is Amy Gaviglio, and I am the chair of the executive subcommittee for the council. So first, I want to take the opportunity to say thank you for the foresight and commitment of the Minnesota legislature in understanding the importance of having a council directed towards addressing the numerous needs and gaps in care amongst the Minnesota rare disease community. Results of surveys of patients and caregivers conducted by the council have really highlighted that the needs of the rare disease community are both vast and require robust advocacy and policy. Through our work, council members have come to understand that the ability for autonomy and advocacy and policymaking is paramount to addressing the needs brought to us. Unfortunately, under the current organization, we have been unable to find a path forward that allows the council to do this work to the extent needed. Certainly, understandably, the University of Minnesota has their own legislative and policy initiatives and risk considerations, but this is hampering our ability to truly drive progress as a council. So as Senator Coleman mentioned, the council did assess other potential organizations and have determined that the Minnesota Council on Disability would best serve the council's initiatives for the rare disease community. The Minnesota Council on Disability has expressed their support of this move, and we both feel that the synergy of our missions will be exceedingly beneficial. And Mr. Chair and members, we do have Trevor Turner here today with the Minnesota Council on Disability, should you have any questions for him as well. But again, on behalf of the council, we thank you for the support of this work and community, and we look forward to enhancing our efforts for the 580,000 individuals with a rare disease and their caregivers in the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Members, are there any questions for the testifiers? Seeing none, Senator Coleman, any closing comments you wish to leave for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the time today. This is a important for the Rare Disease Advisory Council. They'll be able to really fulfill their mission in this new home of theirs. So thank you so much for the time and consideration today.
Absolutely. And I believe we need to send this to the Health and Human Services Finance Committee. So Senator Putnam, would you move that the bill be passed and referred to Health and Human Services Finance?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
All right. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. That is passed, and you are on your way to HHS, Senator Coleman.
Thank you.
All right, and our final bill for the day is Senate File 3624, Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm glad you saved the best bill for the last. So Senate File number 3624 is really a collaborative effort that started this summer with a bunch of stakeholders in the Otana area, along with Otana High School, the business community, and Riverland Technical College. What's happening, and I've been touring on the bonding committee for several years, and Chancellor Malhotra had always said that a community college should be the catalyst of your community. And over the past several years, Otana has felt that Riverland has not been that catalyst and that we need to look at some of the programming, what we can do to better serve the workforce needs in Otana. So what this bill does is a $1 million appropriation. An amendment was done in the Jobs Committee, as you were well aware of, you were on the committee, that actually gives a study, $20,000 for a study, to make sure that they're looking at all the needs of the community. And then this would fund equipment that would be put in the high school and Riverland Technical College to update what they're, how they're training the workforce in the Otana area. I do want to say a couple comments before I'm going to turn over to testifiers. This is really a collaborative effort in the Otana area. A new high school is being built right now in Otana, and the business community, Federated Insurance themselves, have donated $22 million to this high school, which is unheard of, I think, in Minnesota. It's probably the only one of its kind, along with several others, business community members that have contributed, Winger Corporation, Viracon. There's been several that have worked on this. So I have some testifiers. They were not able to be here today, but I have a video from when they testified in the Jobs Committee that I'd like to play if we can get the technology correct here. So if I can share my screen, someone would do that.
You have access. Yeah, you should.
You should okay. Just be able to do that, Senator
okay. Jasinski. Let me get there. Okay.
There, it's starting.
Okay, are we up now? Oop. It shows it on my screen here. I was concerned about this just to make sure we had the technology.
Do you have a testifier that's here. Online
no,
or in person?
From here from Riverland Technical College.
Let's move to that testifier and we'll see if we can figure out
right.
What's going on with the technology. So we'll, is it Christy Trihus who is
yes.
here?
Yes, Ms. Trihus is here from Riverland Technical College. So if she'd come up, that would be great. Oh, she's online. I'm sorry. She is online.
All right. So
I'm online.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony, please?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Christy Trias, and I am an academic dean at Riverland Community College. And I want to thank you for this opportunity to present some additional information. And thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Jasinski. And just kind of briefly, the purpose of this bill is to provide best-in-class student services and curriculum to create career pathways to support record-setting business growth in the Owatonna and Steele County area, and to create a pipeline of skilled workers to all our area businesses. Our growth has been enormous in the community due to the I-35 Highway 14 corridor, and we're very excited about that. And really the bill covers three areas to make this come to fruition. We're first going to conduct the extensive comprehensive needs analysis, and we're gonna have an outside consultant do that. And really the purpose of that is to identify living or life obstacles and challenges that people are faced with, and to really understand what our business and industry need. And then secondly is to develop an education and learning spaces with state-of-the-art equipment and student support services in high demand career pathways. We already, outside of this bill, we already have a nursing program that we have created a very strong pathway between Owatonna High School and Riverland Community College, where they will do a majority of their courses in the high school and then complete them at Riverland Community College within 1 year. And that, with that being a high need area. What we will be using this bill for is to identify or to create advanced manufacturing or mechatronic pathway between the high school and Riverland Community College. And the upfront investment of this is quite expensive, but it's what our businesses are needing with all the advancements in that area. We are modeling it after the Hennepin Tech program, which has been very successful, so that we've got that time tested of what works and what doesn't work. And the other area that we are wanting to develop, because it's in such high need, is different types of IT certificates. The world is really going to stackable credentials to find their workforce. And the IT will be in the area of virtual reality, big data, automation, artificial intelligence, and things along that line. So really the purpose of the two career pathways is to position the students for future careers. And we have developed a learn to earn coalition steering committee that is meeting monthly. And it's really a collaboration of people that are invested in this collaboration. As Senator Jasinski said, this is a huge and amazing collaboration of our community. And I'm very proud to see that happen. And then the third piece of this is to create learn to earn opportunities with the community and industry partners. So what might this look like is scholarship programs, apprenticeships. It might be that workers, as they exit high school, they are infused into a career pathway where they go to work 3 days a week, go to school 2 days a week, and maybe have a weekend cohort from time to time, so that the companies are investing in retaining the employees. And in this current workforce shortage, we really see it as a win-win-win for everybody, the town, the state, the workforce, students, everything along that line. So those are the three main areas that we will be looking at in this growth. And really the collaboration, I feel like the time is right. We really have the right people in the right seats with a clear vision of where we're going to support the expansive, explosive growth in Owatonna. And so thank you for your consideration. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And we're going to try the video again with someone much younger than Senator Jasinski, so maybe it'll work this time.
Well said, Mr. Chair.
I couldn't make it work either, so.
While he's queuing it up, oh, go ahead.
It's not working a whole lot better on this end, but we'll get the volume. The video is playing. We're not getting the volume, so.
Do you need to click, when you click into the video, when you click share screen, there should be a box that opens up to share, says share computer sound, and that should allow you to so that we can hear it.
Thank you.
You'll have to unshare first and then hit share again, and it will, the box will pop up. Okay.
Thank you.
This is great technical assistant, isn't it, from Riverland Technical College?
Yes.
The video is from our chamber president, as well as Jeff Elstead, who's the superintendent of schools, just so people know where it's coming from. But
get that.
We apologize. We are not getting it to work on our end either. Are we getting feedback? Okay, there we're better. Senator Jasinski, do you can you kind of summarize some of what their testimony was by any chance?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Trias did a very good job. Again, this has been a collaborative effort. They've been meeting every week, I think, for a long time on the Owatonna Learn to Earn Coalition. It's a group of stakeholders in the community as well as the superintendent of schools. It's been a really good, and as well as Riverland Technical College. So it's really important. I think Owatonna is one of the largest cities of a population of 26,000 that really doesn't have a main campus. They have a remote campus for Riverland Technical College there, but it really needs to be updated to continue to help the workforce. I think that's all we'll go into. I just want to thank Senator Tomasoni for hearing the bill as well as yourself. And as Senator Tomasoni would say, it's a great bill. So I hope I get your support.
All right, thank you. I know Senator Putnam and I had promised we were going to grill you in the Jobs Committee when you got here, but maybe with all these technical problems, we can give them a little break. So, are there any member questions? Senator Claussen.
Just a comment. You know, this could be replicated perhaps around the state where you've got local folks looking at their workforce needs in the regional area. Then you're investing in training through your high schools and community colleges. And I just really like this. I think this is something that could work in many areas. And I hope that we can get a report back about how well it's doing. So thank you. I'd like to sign on to your bill.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Claussen. Any other comments or questions from committee members? And I think it's been great. We have seen a few different things this year in this committee that hopefully can be replicated in other places around the state. Some very good examples of some groups doing some good things, and this is one of them as well. So any closing comments?
I just hear Mr. Oman might want to testify how important this will be for Riverland Technical College. If you want to come up and say how great this would be, I'd appreciate it.
Not to put you on the spot, Mr. Oman, but if you can identify yourself and begin your testimony.
Again, I want to thank Mr. Oman as well. He came down as well as the chancellor to visit this group in Owatonna, so I thought it'd be good for him to say at least a couple words.
Chair Rarick, member Senator Jasinski is absolutely right. This is a great bill. The chancellor spent, I think it was afternoon visiting with folks in Owatonna, and Senator Claussen mentioned there is a lot of synergy in Owatonna with a strong manufacturing base, and Minnesota State has had a long history of trying to provide education without having a traditional technical or a community college, and this bill obviously will help, especially with the fact that there is a coalition inside of the community that is going to be now further engaged in this work. And I will have to say that Senator Jasinski did a great job bringing in multiple partners together in the conversations. And I think this bill then, you know, helps us move forward. And I will say that the Chancellor is and Minnesota State do support it almost as much as we support our supplemental budget request.
Thank you very much. Seeing no further questions, we will lay Senate File 3624 over for possible inclusion. Members, before we go, we made one little mistake earlier on Senator Hoffman's bill. Senate File 3972 needs to go to state government. So, Senator Jasinski, would you move that Senate File 3972 be recommended to pass and referred to state government?
So moved.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? That passes. Thank you, members. That is it for our agenda today, so we will stand adjourned.